And I'm looking here, or am I looking at you?
Do I want to say this out loud?
I just had a Slim Jim.
I don't know if this should go on the internet, but...
Hey, this is Brian, senior pastor at Crossroads. Happy New Year! Hopefully the last year went pretty well for you, and hopefully the next year goes really well, maybe even better for you. So this is one of those times when everybody at Crossroads gets to be in the same place, because a lot of our community doesn't live close to a facility, but we've closed down our facilities to help our volunteers and staff recover and enjoy the holidays. And so all of us at Crossroads, no matter what site or outside of the site world that you are in, are here right now. This is our weekend experience, so it's good to have you with us today. Today, we're going to be talking about things that will get you to a new place in your 2026. Thanks for coming. Let's get going.
Hey, you made it through the holidays. You deserve a moment to rest and reflect on 2025. Let's take a look back at the year that was.
Eagles fly. Poco.
Doncic headed to the Lakers.
Swift and Kelce engaged.
I'm off to see the
Wizards. End this once and for all.
Eyes up here.
All new Sora 2.
American Pope. Release all political activists. Shot.
Another war is inevitable.
So last year, a lot. For some, it was a blur of blessing. For others, it was a bit of a battle. Either way, it's a new year. And you know what that means? It's time to make lists of resolutions that none of us end up committing to. Okay, stay with me. If you want to drink less coffee, or do more push-ups, or finally finish that extended Lord of the Rings, you should totally do that.
For Frodo.
A new calendar year is a chance for a fresh start, after all. But what if this fresh start was about something more?
Some more what?
Okay, let's back up. The term God's kingdom is super vague, I get it. God's kingdom is really just anywhere people experience his power at work. So, what could that actually look like?
Just as we thought.
Does it look like healings? Or miracles? Or repentance? Or dreams? Families mended? Lives completely changing? God is up to something. We have the receipts. The waters are stirring. One might even call it the start of a revival. Plus, more good news, this kind of power is available for you, too. God has given you authority to be bold in 2026. You can step into the new year confident, expectant, and ready. Are you ready?
It was a 1978 Chevy Vega. It was orange. You couldn't tell what was paint and what was rust.
I drove a 1985 Ford Escort. Only problem with that was the year was probably like 1995, but I had the bangin'est system in that car. I had my 6x9 speakers on the door. I had my little pull-out radio.
I wanna say a 1993 white Chevy Caprice. Me and my buddies found this light. It flashed red and yellow. So not red and blue. That would be imitating a cop. That's not allowed, and I don't condone that. I don't think you should do that ever in your life. However, we put it in the front of the car, and we used to pull out behind people and put it on and drive up on them, and they would pull over. And again, I tell you that to say, you should never do that. Should never do that.
New Year's Eve, New Year's Day at the latest. I don't linger.
Third week of January before we get rid of that thing, until it's absolutely clear that it's about on its last leg and it looks more like a Charlie Brown tree than the tree we started with.
Till end of February. Not the end, but like into February. You have to wake up one day and decide, I want my house to look worse. Today,
I just ate my tongue. Does that ever happen to you guys? No, I'm good.
So in black church culture, there's this thing called watch night service. And so literally, I didn't even know what it meant when people would say the ball dropped for the first 18 years of my life. We were in church from like 10 o'clock at night till like 1 o'clock in the morning. Quite frankly, I love it. I actually miss it. And you can hold me to this. One of these days, I'm gonna throw a watch night service celebration at one of our Crossroads sites. We're gonna do that one year.
Three New Year's Eves in a row, somebody in my family ended up in urgent care. And so I just, by the third one, I was like, I'm done with New Year's Eve. And then we haven't been in urgent care for probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years now.
Most disappointing New Year's Eve ever. I went to Kansas for a Georgia Tech Kansas basketball game. And then me and my buddies were like, let's go out. Let's go New Year's Eve. It's gonna be amazing. And there was nothing. Nothing happening in Kansas City. Nothing.
A question I ask myself, and actually everybody in my family every year, is imagining Jesus asking us, what is it you want me to do for you? That's an actual question he asked before to a blind man, which is kind of maybe an insensitive question. Like, should you ask a blind guy that? Why don't you just pray for him? Why don't you, if you can heal him, Jesus, why don't you just do that? I don't want to give a whole sermon here, but it's really important for us to be able to know what is it that we want God to do for us this year. Not necessarily the goal that I've got to do to reach that goal. I think that's really a good thing. We can invite God into that. But what are the things that you just want Him to do for you? And it could be frivolous. It could be serious. It could be whatever. We ask that question every Christmas Eve, and then we write it down, and we don't look at it for a year later, and then my grandkids, my kids, my son-in-laws, my daughters-in-law, we go back and we revisit what is it we said a year earlier and to see how many of those things happen. And then we have the new thing for the next year. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be to solve world hunger. What I want him to do for me is to, we think of this, you know, altruistic, really somber thing. It's fine to ask for that. But one of the things I asked was, I think it was, I want to get a bull elk this year. I think I asked that. And crazy, this year I've gotten two. Wow. The other thing I'll be saying, Jesus, for this year, Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? I want him to give me a marriage that's at 100% physical capacity. I want Lib to have recovered from all of the stuff relative to chemo and radiation, and for to have enough hair that's back that she doesn't have to fight a wig that's making her hot flashes from recovery from cancer treatments and hormone stuff. I mean, it's just a long, long thing, and I'm hoping sometime here in 2026, I have my wife back fully physically, and we can be the physical couple that we've always wanted to be or always have been.
So I picked this question, who is in your life now that wasn't there at the beginning of the year, for a very specific reason. One of the ways that I go back and reflect on the year that has just happened is by looking for patterns in my life. I think that oftentimes God does a long, slow work where if we step back and watch for certain patterns, we can pick up where he's been at work that maybe we would have missed otherwise. And so one of the ways I do that is in this particular question, because the pattern I see in my life over many, many years is that when God is moving, he will start to surround me with the people that that's going to take. Whenever he moves us, I think, to especially somewhere new, it's always led by his spirit, and it's always shared with other people. And so I start to watch, like, who's coming into my life that maybe wasn't there before, and does that indicate a movement in what God is doing? And so some years it really does, other years it doesn't. I always enjoy those questions where I'm watching for patterns. So this year for me, I hadn't thought about this yet until very recently, and I see that God has brought three different women who are incredibly strong, bold, I would even say decisive leaders. And that told me something very specific, because that has not been the case in a really long time. I would say even there have been years recently where I've actually felt alone, in professionally speaking, in what I do and what I'm seeking to do. And this year, I feel like it was an abundance. When I looked back, there are three different women who are in my life in a very significant way that are all seeking after Jesus, and they're all touching pieces of what I'm doing. And it makes me excited to see, maybe for the first time in a really long time, I'm actually going to have other women who are sort of in the work that God has called me to in the kingdom with me. And that makes me really excited. I love our guys. I love all the men that I work with, but man, there's something special about watching God bring some new women into my life.
I came up with this question, what new adventure do you want to step into next year? And the reason I came up with this is because I find that we all have something that we are dreaming about. And often we don't say it out loud. And so this idea of what a new adventure is a way to say it out loud. And actually mine isn't crazy, but it is something that I want to do. I used to set a goal of how many nights I want to sleep outside. I love camping, and there's something about being outside and being around a fire that is so invigorating for me. And so this year, I want to spend at least 7 nights waking up in the woods. Doesn't matter where they are, but somehow, some way, I want to do that. I've got some thoughts on how I want to do that. My daughter and I, we're probably going to do Red River Gorge at some point, so those will be some of those nights. I have always wanted to do a section hike of the Appalachian Trail, so that's something I'm kind of wrapping my mind around. Maybe that becomes some of the nights this year. Some of that will be man camp, some of that will be revival perhaps, but I want to spend at least a week outside, waking up outside in the woods, looking up at the stars at night before I go to bed.
Okay, my question for all of us is really a three-part question, which is, what was the best part of this last year? What was the worst part of this last year? And what are you looking forward to the most in the next year? It's actually a question that we've asked in our small group for years and years on everyone's birthday. And it's kind of like the, when 1 year ends and the next one's beginning, reflective questions. The first two are remember, because the Bible commands us to remember. It's actually the third most commanded thing in the entire Bible. Remember, remember, remember. And not just the good stuff. God says that, like, remember my wonders. But then he also says, remember the bad stuff, like, remember that you were slaves. And so it's important to reflect backwards and remember. And then the third question is the hope question. It's to say, this next year, I'm looking forward to something. I have hope for something. It doesn't have to be like this big spiritual thing, but just something good. One of the verses that's always meant a lot to me, in the New King James Version, which is the first version I ever heard it in, it says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And it's just this little thing in the Bible that goes like, you gotta have something you're hoping for. You gotta remember and believe that you're gonna see God's goodness, not just like someday when you get to heaven, but like here and now, there's more good coming. And so ask those three questions. My answers, the worst part of this last year was we put our kids in school for the first time. They've been homeschooled their whole life. That's a whole nother story. And they wanted to go to school, and we were like, awesome, let's do it. So we put them in a school, and one of my kids was bullied like pretty much out of the gate for the first half of the school year. And it was probably the hardest season Sarah and I have ever had as parents, because we didn't expect it. We didn't know what to do with it. I think in hindsight, we did some stuff well. And in hindsight, there's some things I would do differently. But it was really hard watching our kid go through that. And also hard to know, like, as a parent, like, what do you do? Like, when do you step in, and how do you have good conversations that are productive and all that kind of stuff. Happy to report, by the way, that's completely different a year later. A year later, completely different for that kid in the same school. And so we're incredibly thankful that God did that. That's probably the thing that was the best part of my last year, is watching the redemption arc of how God took that hard situation and didn't call us out of it, called us to stay in it, and yet produce something better than we could have imagined in that same spot. Thing I'm looking forward to most next year, making great memories, spending great time together as a family. Sarah and I and our three kids, Ben, Eli, Gracie, the clock is ticking on how much longer I have them all in my house, which seems insane, because it feels like yesterday they were all in diapers, you know? But my oldest is a freshman in high school. And so I go, okay, we've got like 3 more summers where he's in our house, like, that we can probably count on, probably. Maybe you'll have a summer job for one of those and need to stay around or whatever, but like we've got three more cracks at time together to make great memories. And so we have intentionally planned to save less money so we can spend more with our kids while they're in our house. And I'm looking forward to some of the adventures and trips that we have planned with the kids over this next 12 months.
Hey everyone, my name is Joey and I'm a student here at the University of Cincinnati, and I'm here to take you on a little bit of a behind the scenes of a way that I saw God move in my 2025. This is a special place in my heart because it is not only where my personal walk and relationship with Jesus began to flourish, but it is now a place where I get to call home and share that love of the Lord with my friends and classmates. And God did something really special this year in one of those relationships, and so I just love to get to share that with all of you today. On our first stop here, I'm taking us to where my friendship with my friend Abe really all began. It was here behind me in this dorm known as Daniels Hall, or formerly known here as the Dirty Dans. And one of those first nights here in this dorm, I met my friend Abe and we began to have conversations about similarities of things that we loved in our life and ways that we both wrestled in high school. And he's a Browns fan, I'm a Bengals fan, so we shared some fun jokes over that. And this is ultimately where I began to meet him and spend time together. And now we're back at my house, actually in my room at my desk. And this is a space that has just become special and important because this is a space where I just get to spend time with Jesus every day. A space where I get to pray on behalf of my friend Abe. Actually, just behind me, you can see these post-it notes. And I would just write little things that I want to see God do in my life, or pieces of scripture that would increase my faith or challenge different areas that I would believe. And they were all built around this idea of just seeing God move in ways that I've never seen him move. And I just began to pray for my friends, and including Abe, and I just asked God to go before me and meet them where they're at, and that he would begin to move in their heart before I could force him into their heart. Now I'm taking us on a little bit of a walk to one of our favorite places on campus, and that is our dining hall. One of our dining halls and the closest one to our dorm. Known as On the Green, they served up amazing food. Orange chicken on Thursdays became a famous hot commodity. And this was a place where we began to take that beginner level friendship to a little bit of a deeper place. This was one of the first times where I began to hear Abe really talk curiously about what God is doing in my life and how he maybe wants that in his own life. He wasn't really ready yet to say permanently yes to something, but he was just curious and began to ask questions. And it was a time for us to share a little bit of my answers and things I was going through and things that I was learning on my own walk with the Lord. Now I'm here at Crossroads Uptown. This just represents the first time that me and him actually got to go to church together. And that was just a few months ago. He had reached out to me one early Sunday morning, asked me if we could go to church. So we went down to Crossroads Florence, listened to service, had a great time. And on the way back, he was like, man, I love that. So we just talked about next steps that we could take. He got himself a new Bible, and we decided to start reading the Word together. And I just told him, you know, the best thing that you can do is just begin to figure this out for yourself. Spend time with God, begin to read the Bible, and see what he has for you personally. And now for our final stop here, I'm taking us to where we now meet every Wednesday here at Rose Street Cafe, just off of UC's campus. Inside, look around the place, and this is the very table that Abe and I come to when we sit here every Wednesday. And we just open the Word, we get into a new chapter of the book that we're reading. And this was actually the very place that Abe gave his life to Christ. We were just reading through the book of Luke, and he kind of just stopped and was like, hey man, I think what we're reading is great, and I think I've read enough for me to just believe that God is good and that I want to go all in on him. And so we just got to stop in that moment and read Romans 10:9-10, that just speaks about confessing that Jesus is Lord and what that can do for you. And he went home that day and he confessed his life to the Lord and gave his life to Jesus. And this is now a space that is so special to us because we get to meet and catch up and continue to read the Bible with one another and grow and strengthen, not only in our friendship, but also in our faith together.
I hope you've enjoyed this experience today. Before we run out to our next thing, I just want to pray a blessing over you and over the year to come in your life and in your family. So God, thank you for this church you've given us to be part of. Thank you for the call that you have in our lives. Thank you for the plans that you have for us. God, I know that your word says you have plans to prosper us, not to harm us. And so God, would you give us your spirit of hope, your spirit of peace, your spirit of endurance over our next year. May we know you more 12 months from now than we know you now. May we love you more 12 months from now than we love you now. May we see breakthrough in our lives in the specific places you have set for us. Amen.